Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Diana Furscott-Roth is our guest, our good friend. She's an economist extraordinaire, former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor, director of economics21.org website, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, the author of a new book, which is really important and powerful, Disinherited, How Washington is Betraying America's Young. One of the ways I think Washington is betraying America's young, Diana, is in this new push, this increasing push to affect wages by fiat. And you've been studying this quite a bit, and it's not just, you know, my audience knows that I've been talking about minimum wage for a long time. They know how I feel. I've written an article most recently about this, but it's important to understand that the fiat wage argument is more than minimum wage, isn't it?
It really is, yes. And we talk about it in our book, the danger that higher wages does, both to low-income people who want to buy products and also to young people trying to get into the labor market. I mean, in Seattle, San Francisco, where wages are $15 an hour, there's no way teens are going to be able to get a job this summer.
No.
Plus, the headlines are, and my friend Mark Perry at the American Enterprise Institute brought this out, that Chipotle is raising its prices 10 to 14% because its wages have gone up 10
yep.
to 14%.
Yep.
So all these people who want to have an inexpensive night out with their families are not going to be able to do that.
Well, and it's the minimum wage. That's one part of it. Then there's something called the living wage. That's another issue.
And then the living wage, I mean, that is just a red herring because we have so many programs that bring the minimum wage up to the living wage with transfers from the government. There's the Earned Income Tax Credit, there's food stamps, there's housing vouchers, there's Medicaid. And the government put these in specially so employers would be able to take low-skilled people to work without having them worry about their household income, because people need a first step on the career ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So these programs were specially put in place to answer the critics of the living wage.
That's right. And so they're there, but that doesn't stop the progressives in the left from using this as a wedge issue, does it?
Exactly, yes.
Even though their argument is a lie, it doesn't stop them from using it as a wedge issue, and successfully, I'm afraid, Diana.
It just is amazing how many lies can just go on being said time after time on the radio. And that's why your show is so refreshing, Jim, because there is not one lie on there. It is all the truth. Another example is women make 77 cents on the dollar. Well, it's been disproved multiple times, but the president goes on saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the data, the actual data on the incomes of minimum wage families, the average income of a family with a minimum wage worker is $52,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
A family with a teen minimum wage worker, $62,000 a year. A family with a minimum wage worker that's not a teen, $42,000 a year.
But what they do, Diana, is they find a single mother, God bless her and her children, they find a single mother who's working at McDonald's, making minimum wage, and they try to show her as not being able to make a living, so we got to do something about her. But as you said earlier, there are programs for her to help her work and not be able to feed her family with assistance from the government.
And you know, Jim, it's even worse than that. These people, so-called minimum wage workers, are often planted on shows. I was on an NPR show with someone called Terrence Wise, someone who is supposedly a minimum wage worker and has been like that for the past 10 to 12 years. And I felt sorry for him. I wanted to help him. I wanted to suggest a training program.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the producer. I said, can you give me his contact information? He said, well, I'll have to give you the name of his publicist.
Oh, my goodness.
So I thought very hard. He has a publicist?
Wow.
Anyway, it turns out
I don't have a publicist.
The publicist was Danny at BerlinRosen.com. Berlin Rosen is a union company, a union PR firm. Terence Wise had been planted on the show by Berlin Rosen.
Wow. So much for honesty.
These people are not always what they seem.
Right, yeah.
There's very few people who are in minimum wage jobs for that length of time. Most of them take them and then just move on because only 3% of American workers make minimum wage.
Here's another thing that people miss, and I try to point this out as often as I can. If you by fiat, if you arbitrarily raise the minimum wage or rate, go up to whatever it is, if it's the living wage or the minimum wage, whatever you're raising wages to by fiat, whoever had earned that wage in the past is now making just that wage. So in other words, let's say in Washington, as you were saying in Seattle, is if it's $15 an hour now, from say $10 an hour, $8 or $10 an hour. Well, the person who over the last 2 years had worked hard and earned their way to $15, now what do they think?
Right, they think that they want to raise too.
Exactly, or what did I work for? Why this new person coming is making the same thing I'm making, and I had to work for my $15. And as you say, you either have to raise everyone's payroll, or
right.
You have bad morale. And that's
exactly.
that's what fiat does to the marketplace.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah,
Diana, give us that website one more time, please.
Economics21.org.
All right, so check that out, folks. You'll like it. Disinherited, How Washington is Betraying America's Young. That's her new book. When we come back, I'm going to ask her to tell us a little bit more. And by the way, that's co-authored with Jared Meyer. I want to make sure I mention Jared's name. When we come back, I'm going to ask her to tell us a little bit about how the book is being received. What are the critics saying about her book? Stay with us. 10-10.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.